Well, I was touching on some things on Sunday. We've been talking about this set of messages called Strengthened with Might, or you could say Strengthened with His Might. You could say the same thing. And I wanted to just go through this a little bit here. Some of this, you already know this, but I think it's good to be reminded that when we look at God's purpose for the ages, you know, as we're coming up on this season of Christmas, it was God in Christ. So let's look at that. It was God in Christ. I'm going to just read some scriptures. You're familiar with this. But it was a God-man that came to this earth. And it was God in Christ reconciling the world. And then you say, okay, what was the purpose? It was to redeem mankind. But it wasn't only just to redeem mankind. It was to restore to man what was lost through Adam. That God could now become and take up residence in us through Christ to do what? Fulfill His purpose here in the earth, right? So when you look at the scriptures, let's just make, you know, and this is what the scripture shares, that in 2 Corinthians 2:19, to wit, I'm reading from the King James, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And then it goes on. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word, Christ, was God. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Hebrews 1, chapter 1, I'm just going to read real quick. If you want to follow and write them down or get the CD, fine. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed, what? Heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, Christ the Son, who, being in the brightness of His glory, whose glory? God's glory. God was in Christ. That's the point. John 17:21, that they may all be one as Thou, Father, art in Me. We're just confirming scripture after scripture that God was in Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, what does it say after that? Who is the image of God? It was God in Christ. He was the manifested glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. But here's the point where I'm running down. Another scripture. Who being in the form of God, this is Philippians 2:6, another scripture. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It was God in Christ. But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So it was God in Christ, God in a human body, a sinless man, conceived miraculously. The New Living Translation of Philippians 2:7, and this is the point here. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. So He gave up all of His God privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when He appeared in human form. So He came as God in the flesh. But He set aside these divine privileges and operated in this earth as a man. Sinless man, and that's why if he had to be a man, not operating as God, because What does it say in Acts 10:38? How God anointed him with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing what? Doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. So God had to anoint this, he had to anoint Jesus, who had set aside his divine privileges. See? But he was God in the flesh, but he was a man. This was, as Pastor Clinton always used to say, it was a merger of deity and humanity. It was a God-man merger, right? And so when we look at that, we look at who's now in us. Christ is in us. Man, so when we start looking at this and you look at the ministry of Jesus and all that he accomplished that as an anointed man. And what does he say? He said, as I do, you do likewise. And so we should be doing the same things as he did. And he said that. He said, all power, what did he say in Matthew 28? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. So I wanted to just go through this and touch on a point this evening. Ephesians chapter 3. And we can turn over here. Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 16, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. This is the power of God, the dunamis power of God, by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with what? All the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, how is that done? According to the power, this is the power of God, that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. And he empowers us by his Spirit in our inner man. Now let's jump over to Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to touch on this again. Looking at verse 16. It says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? This is the power of God, the dunamis power. To usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world but also and that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So you can see here, we were raised with him, seated with him at his own right hand. And we are sharers, as we were pointing out in past lessons, we are sharers with his authority. We're complete in him. I like this particular translation in Ephesians 1:19 in the New Living, it says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. That is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. This particular verse, Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's a little clear sometimes in the King James, you know, we don't talk like that anymore. If you did, I think there'd be something wrong with you. But we just don't talk that way anymore. Unless, I don't know, maybe some do, I don't know. But the New Living Translation, it says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. See, that's a little clear. And the Voice translation says, God has placed all things beneath his feet and anointed him as the head over all things for his church. So he's the head. We are what? The body. You know, if your head wants to go somewhere and your body's going somewhere else, that's a problem, right? There'd be something wrong, right? So, and that's what's going on here, that the head is over all things for the benefit of the church, but we're back to this. Is the church in step with the head? See, are we following after Christ? See, because then it's not working, is it? So, so the church needs to know and understand her place of privilege and a place of authority. So the church has been exalted to rule over, what does it say, principalities, powers, dominions. Christ has, but he did it for the church. He's in heaven. We're here. We're the ones dealing with this stuff, with principalities and powers. So he's given us dominion and authority. We're sharing his authority over those principalities and powers to exert his authority. No different than you, if you were a police officer. How many are in the law enforcement in here? Anybody, or former law enforcement in here? Somebody? Yeah, the few, right? So you had authority given to you or conferred upon you by the authorities of that state. Or if you operated as an officer in the state of New York, you had a badge, you had a gun, you were given authority, and that was conferred upon you to execute that authority. Not ask, is it okay? Can I? Is it okay? They say, get your cotton picking gun out and exert it. Well, maybe not the gun, but you understand my point. They would pull someone over and they would do what? Just like Jesus did. What did Jesus say to the devil? He said, it is written. And that's no different today when we break the law or something. They may pull us over and remind us, you know, such and such and such and such. Did you know you were doing this? And we say, well, no, we didn't. And I say, well, maybe they'll give you a warning. But if you know you were breaking the law, then that's a different story, right? But you had the right and the authority to execute and enforce the law. And that's no different today. Jesus has said, I have all authority. Now, it's for the benefit of the church. You go, therefore, and teach men the gospel. Those that believe will be saved. Those that don't, won't. They'll be judged. And he said, do what? Cast out demons, lay hands on the sick, right? In my name. I'm giving you authority in my name to do something. So it's for the benefit of the church. So Ephesians 1:23, it says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now think about that. God was in Christ. So the fullness of God was in one man. The fullness of God was in one man. But now, he's the head, we're the body. And the body is made up of what? One person? Many members. And so his fullness, what does it say? His fullness of him that filleth all in all. The New Living says, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So he's in the body. The fullness of the presence of God was in one man. Now the fullness of the presence of God is in the whole body. It's not just in one person now. Because that one person, Christ, could only be one place. Now the body is everywhere, everywhere. And his fullness is in the body, not in any one of us. Right? It's a mystery to me. It's just something when you think about it, the wisdom of God that redeemed mankind, but now his body fills the earth. The fullness of his presence fills the earth. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 1. I want to just touch on this again. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 27 and 28, 29, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And this is Paul writing to the church of Colossae, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. That's dunamis again, this word, the power of God. I like what the Amplified says in this verse. It's in verse 29. It says, for this I labor unto weariness. So he's talking about his work in the ministry here. For this labor I work unto weariness, striving with all the superhuman energy which he so mightily enkindles and works within me. So whatever God has called you, wherever he has called you, he wants to empower us, strengthen us for the work he's assigned us, not try to do it in your own strength. You won't be able to. You know, when you think about it, all of us have different assignments. Or, you know, the scripture talks about in 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says different administrations or different ministries, as the margin says. But all of us, and the member is made up of many parts, so we have different parts to play. So you're going to need God's anointing, his strength to do that. But all of us are going to need his strength, and all of us are called to walk in love. Because if you look at chapter 12, it talks about the body and the many members. And then what does it do? It rolls right into chapter 13. And it talks about love. We all have to walk in love. And you are going to need his strength and ability to walk in love with people. Amen. You can't do that in your own human strength. You won't be able to. Amen. It's not possible. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to make light of that. It is not possible to walk in love with people without God's help. You can't do it. Why? Because your flesh is sinful. You're going to want to pop somebody. But you're going to have the love of God in you to say, oh, no, don't do that. Right? It's just true. You can't. Can't do it without his, as Paul writes here, superhuman energy. It's the power of God in you to help you. Right? Right. Glory to God. Praise God. So let me jump over here to Colossians 2. In verse, a similar writing as Ephesians when it says the fullness of him that filleth all in all. But here, you can see here in verse 9 of chapter 2, it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Where does it dwell? In him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In verse 10, and it says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of what? All principality and power. Listen to the Amplified. It says here, for in him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression. See, I like this word here. Complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in him, made full and having come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual maturity. And he is the head of all rule and authority, of every angelic principality and power. I'm just going to read from a few translations and make a point here. The Phillips translation says, yet it is in him that God gives a full and complete expression of himself. I like this. God gives a full and complete expression of himself. Where? In Christ. It says, moreover, your own completeness is only realized in him who is the authority over all authorities and supreme power over all powers. Listen to God's word translation. That's why I like some of the modern English translation. This says, all of God lives in Christ's body. That makes it real simple, doesn't it? All of God lives in Christ's body. All of God doesn't live in you. All of God lives in Christ's body. It's when it says the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So yes, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost lives, it says, we are complete in him. So he has an impact or an expression in each of us to a measure. But all of God lives in Christ's body. I like that. And God has made you complete in Christ. Christ is in charge of every ruler and authority. So let's turn over just for a minute for clarity. Look at chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Sometimes it's good to look. What is the scripture? It says scripture interprets scripture so that we don't take scripture out of context. Scripture interprets scripture. So if all of God lives in God's body, then let's look at chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, and my margin says ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For it says, for to one is given by the word of by the Spirit the what? The word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, another the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, divers kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, doing what? Dividing to every man severally as he will. So it's God in Christ filling, he's filled the body. And he's divided as he desires severally different ministries and administrations. His presence fills the entire body. So no one person has the fullness of the Spirit. No one person. Jesus did when he walked this earth. And isn't it interesting? He had the fullness of God in him, and he still couldn't get things done. Think about that. He went into areas, and they wouldn't receive him. He could but heal a few minor things. And you think you're having problems. He had the fullness of God. The fullness of God. Think about that. And he still, people still would not receive what he had to offer, right? The presence, when it, you know, when we read right over that, the presence of God was there to heal. That means the fullness of the presence of God was there to heal, and they still didn't receive it. And you don't have the fullness. See, but God still is going to operate through the body. See? So this is the whole point here that you can see. And it goes on here. For as the body is one and hath what? Many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. That by one Spirit we are all baptized into whether into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And it goes on, and continues. And jump over to verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part that lacked. And what does it go on to say? It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have what? The same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And what does it go on to say? And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities, and tongues. And it goes on. But you can see here, God filleth all in the body. Right? And he has given different responsibilities and administrations or ministries as he chooses. But you're going to have to do it by this, as Paul writes, superhuman energy. You're going to have to be anointed by his Spirit in your inner man to carry those out. This is why when we talk about being strengthened with might, you can't do any of this without his superhuman ability. You can't do it. Whether you just go into your J-O-B, because to me, a job is a ministry. When you go on that job, it's a ministry that you carry. You are a light in this dark earth. Amen. And as you continue here, And it says here in verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And then what does he say? Here he finishes, and yet show I you a more excellent way, walking in love. So we're all called to do that. And you're going to need his ability to do that. You're going to need his ability. So, that's all right. So the question is, why is there not more progress or manifest progress by the church? That's a question one has to ask. So the head is completely dependent upon the body. The head is completely dependent upon the body. You know, if God could usurp his will over man's will, the whole earth would be saved. But he can't. And he is completely dependent upon the body. Think about it. The body is made up of living members who have their own will. Right? So even though the scripture says those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, you can't just, God can't get things done just through a leading. And I'm going to share it this way. We can have an impression to do something, but you still have to have your mind renewed to the Word of God and the will of God, because the Spirit and the Word work together. So the Spirit of God can impress you to do something, and you go, no, I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. So your mind has to be renewed, because what does it say? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God is totally dependent on a submitted body who is in agreement with his will. And then the Spirit of God can move us to do things. You see the connection here, right? So the members must be submitted to the head. The members have to be submitted to the head. And that the body of Christ, again, is made up of many living members, each with its own will. See? And the Holy Spirit comes into each one of us. We're the body. He comes into each one of us in order to bring us into unity to the purposes of God. Right? The purposes of the head. But this cannot, as I was sharing, this cannot be accomplished by just an inward leading. It's only by the Word of God that's meditated upon and accepted and received and acted upon that God can begin to use us. And think about this. This is what the New Living Translation of Romans 12:2, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See? And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Think about what I was reading before, 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which are lost. See, you've got to have your mind renewed to the Word of God. And then when the Spirit of God, who's, you know, is directing us to the purposes and will of God, then we're yielded. We're yielded to his purposes. See? So the renewed mind, while understanding the Word of God, lacks the power to perform it. See, this is where we're talking about being strengthened with might. We can have an impulse to do something, but we're not in agreement with the Word of God or his purposes. But the renewed mind, when it understands it, it needs his power to carry it out. needs to be strengthened with his might to carry out those purposes, those directions that we get. See, God may say, go over here and do this. You need his power to do that. See? So the Spirit of God empowers us with God's strength in our inner man, in our spirit, by his Spirit, to carry out the accepted will of the head. That's the point. So when we're strengthened with his might in our inner man by his power, it's not just to overcome all of these things that come against you in life, in your own personal life, but it's to empower you to carry out the purposes of the head, the will of God. Yes, it is to overcome principalities and powers in your own personal life. But I can tell you, when God gives you a direction to go do something, you're going to need his power to do that. I mean, you heard Brother Hagin talk about it. When he left the last church he pastored, he said God told him, this will be the last church you pastor. I want you to go out on the field ministry. He said it was like every devil in hell confronted him. That's what he said. He said it was tough. He needed the power of God. He needed the strength of God to combat that. Because when God gives you a direction to go, you're going to have to get up and go and do something. You're going to need strength to do that in your inner man. And that's the point in this, that we need to be led by his Spirit, but primarily our minds need to be renewed to the Word of God so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, I'm just, get this book, tremendous book. It'll help you. And keep feeding on it, you know, read it, put it down, or if, you know, if it's too much to read all at once, read a few pages, digest it. Let it get down in your heart. It'll change your thinking. Praise the Lord. Anybody get anything out of this? Amen. I hope it will, because it's enlightening. You can begin to see, in a broader sense, the plan of God. You can begin to see how God came in Christ to redeem mankind. And then when he came and he redeemed us, what does it say? He says, we went to the cross. We were crucified with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him, and we were seated with him. For what purpose? So we could share in his authority, that he can begin to reestablish this body again and begin to fulfill his plan to reach the entire earth with the gospel. And Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for being Lord. We thank you that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over all, and he's in all. And we thank you, Father, that this fullness fills the entire body of Christ. And we thank you that each one of us, Father, are submitted to your purposes. We thank you that we're submitted to your direction. And we thank you, Father, and believe that we are empowered with your power, with your might, by your Spirit in our inner being, in our inner man. And we thank you to carry out your plan and your purposes here for each one of us assigned. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not going to keep you any longer. Amen. As they say, Selah, think on these things. What's happening to me is the more I meditate on these scriptures, the more I meditate in, like Brother Hagin says, you keep feeding on it, meditating on it, thinking about it, light comes. And it doesn't happen all at once, but you'll put something down and pick it up 6 months from now, and you'll pick it up and go, man, I see this, I see differently now. I can see something that I didn't see before. It could be a year from now, But keep feeding, keep feeding, keep feeding on it, and light will come. And I believe that God is unfolding and revealing these truths to us, not just to tickle us, but for a purpose. And one of those purposes, I believe, was revealed when Apostle Mike was here, when he said, I've called this church to be a forward fire base. I desire to start a revival in this part of the country. And so I believe that he is revealing these truths to us so that we can begin to enforce through the power of God against principalities and powers the strength of God, the might of God, the authority of God to take back some of these areas in this country, this area of the country that's held sway. Because I don't think it's God's desire to have such a hard area to the gospel. It's loosening, but certainly not to the degree that it should. There's powers that have gripped the minds of people. You know, when you think about this, when it talks about the God of this world blinding the lives, the minds of those who are lost, when people are lost, they don't think they need God. They don't think they need God. What do I need him for? I don't need God. I got all my things and my toys and my stuff. I got it. I'm doing, right? But when darkness is pushed back, all of a sudden, people go, I need God. I need God. And so that's what's happened here. We have an area of the country that's gripped in darkness, and it needs to be broken and shaken and taken hold of and what? Kicked out so that men see that they are lost. Not blinded to the fact that they're lost, but see that they are lost and that they will come to God. That will create people to run into the church. And it's going to take people who know, it's going to take members of the body of Christ who know who they are and not ask God to change something, but rise up and command it to change. That's the difference. That as a body, we come together in unity and desire a change in this area, that it becomes our heartbeat to see men come to Christ. And to see men broken from blindness and to actually come into the kingdom of God. When that becomes our heartbeat and we come together, it won't take many to change that. It just takes a few that are in agreement. And I believe God has done that here in this church. I really do believe that. This is not these types of truths as to who you are in Christ and what you have is not being taught everywhere. It is not. Because a lot of it is just, it's hard to chew on. It's hard to accept. So their minds haven't been renewed. And that's why I thank God for Pastors Clinton and Sarah for sticking to the Word of God. And plowing and plowing and plowing and sowing seed into the spirits of men so that it has caused over the years this foundation to be built. And so that now more truth is being revealed and more light is being seen into what you already know and the bodies coming together. That's why when it says it's taken all these years to build the foundation, and some foundations take longer to build because of what's going to have to be built on it, and it says you're now starting to build the ministry house. What is that? The body's coming together. The body's coming together. And it's going to rise up and do some things that are extraordinary and mighty. I believe it. I do. Glory to God. This place is too small as the word of the Lord went forth.